Blog Talk Radio.
Miracle worker, promise keeper, light in the darkness. My God, that is who you are. Way maker, miracle worker, promise keeper, light in the darkness. My God, that is who you are. So we say that together. Our way maker, say.
Miracle.
Let's declare it together. Way maker. Yeah.
Greetings, beloved friends, and welcome to Divine Experience with your host, Dr. Dacia Smith. And that was one of my favorite contemporary gospel songs, Waymaker. This is the version sung by Miranda Curtis. And I wanted to open the show this week. Thank you for joining us with that particular song that the Lord laid on my heart, and the Holy Spirit has convicted me and compelled me to just make that very plain and proclaim it, that indeed the God we serve is a way maker. He will make a way when there is seemingly no way, when it is seemingly hopeless in our eyes and from our perspective. He's already mapped out a plan, and he's already scoped out a route to turn things around. He's a miracle worker. Miracles, things totally unexpected, unpredicted, unexplained will happen when the Lord intervenes. He's a promise keeper. What he says in his word will come to pass. It has come to pass. It will come to pass. His word shall not return void. So I wanted to first talk about, there's so much I want to cover this week. I guess I'll go about my typical routine as it relates to the sequence of the show. So last week, a week from back from yesterday, we were very fortunate and blessed to have Miss Denise McCarroll of First Baptist Church, Murfreesboro, talking about spiritual self-awareness and self-care. If you missed that show, I encourage you to go back into the archives and listen to that incredible, remarkable broadcast. It was truly such a blessing for me and for many others as we dialogued about, you know, becoming more aware of ourselves and where we stand with the Lord, as well as continue to be mindful of how we're caring for ourselves spiritually, emotionally, socially, mentally, psychologically in these particular times and in this day and age, and how befitting that it preceded this past week's event in the world and in this country, which have been some historical events that have occurred. And previously, I also want to thank Karen White, who's also from First Baptist Church Murfreesboro, for coming on and talking about marriage and family and unifying or restoring love within the home and worship in the home and steps to take toward that. And then previous or prior to that, we had Sister Paula Jones, Minister Paula Jones, come on and talk to us about ways to worship through the storm pretty early on in the phase of the pandemic, just prior to Easter, to Resurrection Sunday. So I thank those guests, and I look forward to, in the coming weeks of this month, having more guest speakers on to talk about various aspects of our living as Christians during this time. But it has been a very interesting and difficult week for me, but ultimately it ended on a very encouraging and uplifting note. So last Friday, actually, before the show occurred on Saturday with Janice, my mother was rushed to the emergency room. I was the one who insisted that she go, having dealing with some pretty severe stomach, gastrointestinal digestive issues. And so Friday night was a difficult night. I don't even know. And I went forward with the show on Saturday after having got my mother settled and stabled in her room. She was moved from the ER once they identified the issue. And, you know, my sister and I traded off at the hospital because only one person could actually be in her room at a time. And I had even decided, you know, before everything was resolved, because the Lord just did amazing work and miraculous work this week through those doctors and those nurses, the medical staff, in terms of getting my mother to a point where she was able to be dismissed yesterday. And so just pray, I just praise him for that. But I was praising him even before it got to that point, because I knew that he was going to take care of it. And I knew that my mother was in his hand. And although I was hurting because she was hurting, and I was suffering because she was suffering, I knew that, you know, the Lord was going to bring us through it, bring her through it, and bring all of us through this family crisis. And so I give him glory, and that I just, you know, I love him more and more with each trial I go through, and the more suffering and pain and tribulation, I love him even more. And this is the first time in my Christian walk I've been able to say that, because I've seen his hand of mercy. I've heard his voice of love, and I know that I'm not forsaken. So that personally spoke to me this week. And I now want to talk about, in talking about people of influence for this week, definitely not only healthcare workers in general, but now specifically as it relates to my mom, but a non-COVID-19 related issue, but a very serious issue indeed. Just, you know, at Baptist East, Walnut Grove in Memphis, Tennessee, beautiful people, beautiful spirits. My mom's doctors and nurses on staff and on call. It was just so heartwarming to see, and it gave me such pleasure and joy, and I just thank God for them and for the presence of the particular people that the Lord placed in my mother's life this week, to see firsthand their dedication and commitment to the health and comfort of the patient. And so I also want to talk about people of influence this week as it relates to the nonviolent, I want to emphasize that, the nonviolent protesters of the atrocity and the inhumanity that occurred toward young man George Floyd in Minneapolis, Minnesota. Just the fact that they, of course, are speaking out against the injustice, but it's being done so in many, including in Memphis, Tennessee, which has surprised many people, including myself, pleasantly surprised me, but just the response of, you know, the unity and but the dignity and grace with which they have gone about making it known that this is unacceptable and it's inexcusable. And I myself have contributed not only to the George Floyd GoFundMe account for that family, but also there's another family in Memphis who suffered a great loss this week. There was a particular young man who's a car salesman here who was murdered by a disgruntled consumer who purchased a car from the car lot where he worked and, you know, came into the place of business and killed him. He was a father, a husband. He's a husband and a father of four children, and I saw pictures of his family. He's aspiring to be a pastor as well, open his own, aspiring to open his own church as a pastor. And it is just everyone who speaks of him speaks of his, you know, noble character, his concern for humankind and those kinds of things. So it is just truly heartbreaking to hear that story. And on top of George Floyd, then there were some other incidences of complete and total lack of regard for you know, people that were highlighted in the news this week. But I do want to say that as we go into the show today and we're talking about, you know, I specifically titled the show, Let Love and Light Lead Us Back to the Lord, because, and I was watching First Baptist Atlanta's online service this morning with my sister who's come in town to visit to help get my mother reacclimated to back to her home, and then my son and I, we were all three watching the service, Dr. George preaching about the gospel being available and accessible to all and being necessary, vitally important to all people. And I do believe, and I'm going to talk about this, we look at some of the polls that have gone out, some of the surveys during the course of the pandemic up to this point of worry and fear and loneliness and anxious anxiety and all these kinds of things. Looking at the solution to that, right? And so when we try to look to ourselves as the solution, oh, let's just come together and have these forums and do these things, because all these things have been occurring for decades in one form or another. And not that we shouldn't do that, not that there's not that there isn't benefit to it, because there is. When we talk about a solution, a remedy, an answer, it only comes from and through Jesus Christ. Because when we talk about love, we only know love from the sacrifice that he made for us. He showed us what love is. God showed us what love is through the life and the lessons and the legacy and the martyrdom of Jesus Christ. That's how we know what love, real love, is. 1 Corinthians 13, 4 through 8. That's how we know. So anything else that exists that we call love is not love, right? Being, you know, and we have many different manifestations or representations of illusions of love, like romance. It's an illusion. It's pleasant. It's enjoyable. It appeals to the senses, right? Something we look at that we desire, something we touch we desire, something we feel, something we hear, you know, it definitely does that. But it's not love. Even the word speaks to, and Paul speaks this in Ephesians, husbands should love their wives as Christ loved the church. Jesus Christ wasn't romantic with us. That's not love. Jesus Christ was sacrificial. Jesus Christ modeled and taught and gave and lived and devoted and dedicated and committed himself to our good and for our betterment. So that's love, right? And when that's present, notice a home is and in harmony, and Satan cannot penetrate that home no matter what he does, right? Because it starts with the man loving God and following in Jesus' footsteps as Christ loved the church. And so the problem is when we want to look at all other forms of being nice to people is not a form of love. Somebody saying kind words to you, giving you a compliment, that's not love. Again, enjoyable, pleasant, But when it gets down to it, the Word of God tells us what love is. If we try to say it's anything else other than that, then we miss the whole point. We're really deceiving ourselves, and we're denying ourselves of the beauty of the love that the Heavenly Father has lavished upon us. Right? Because when we enact or show love in that regard, when a husband shows love to his wife, when a parent shows love to the children, when people show agape love to each other, then we have a world that is peaceful, that is joyful, that is in order and in alignment with God's will. And like Dr. George said this morning, we'll never get to that place here, or we'll never get to that condition or that level, right? This is a fallen world. We know that we're sinful people. We know there are some people who just refuse to submit to the will of God and to the authority of God because they have that choice and free will. They have that choice to do or not to do, right? So until we reach the other side of eternity, it'll never be that picturesque panacea. It'll never be that. But what we are called to do and what we're talking about in our show today is to continue spreading the gospel and the message of love, that Jesus Christ, that gift, that splendid gift that we've been given. So let's look at a few scripture verses. What does the Bible say about God's love? John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only son, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have eternal life. Romans 5:8, but God shows his love for us, and that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. 1 John 4:16, so we have come to know and to believe the love that God has for us. God is love, and whoever abides in love abides in God, and God abides in him. Romans 8:35-39, who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation? No. Or distress? No. Or persecution? No. Or famine? No. Or nakedness? No. Or danger? No. Or sword? No. As it is written, for your sake we are being killed all the day long. We regard as sheep to be slaughtered. No, in all these things we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. For I am sure that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor rulers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor powers, nor height, nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus our Lord. Hallelujah. John 15:13, greater love has no one than this, that someone lay down his life for his friend. Jeremiah 31:3, the Lord appeared to him from far away. I have loved you with an everlasting love. Therefore, I have continued my faithfulness to you. 1 John 4:19, we love because he first loved us. Again, we would not know what love is if God had not shown it to us. Zephaniah 3:17, the Lord your God is in your midst, a mighty one who will save. He will rejoice over you with gladness. He will quiet you by his love. He will exult over you with loud singing. Ephesians 3:17-19, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith, that you, being rooted and grounded in love, may have strength to comprehend with all the saints what is the breadth and length and height and depth, and to know the love of Christ that surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled with all the fullness of God. 1 John 4:10, and this is love, not that we have loved God, but that he loved us and sent his son to be the propitiation for our sins. Psalm 147:3, he heals the brokenhearted and binds up their wounds. Psalm 118:6, the Lord is on my side, I will not fear, what can man do to me? Psalm 86:15, but you, O Lord, are God, merciful and gracious, slow to anger and abounding in steadfast love and faithfulness. Psalm 103:8, the Lord is merciful and gracious, slow to anger and abounding in steadfast love. Ephesians 2:4-5, but God, being rich in mercy because of the great love with which he loved us, even when we were dead in our trespasses, made us alive together with Christ. By grace you have been saved. Psalm 136:26, give thanks to God of heaven, for his steadfast love endures forever. 1 John 3:1, see what kind of love the Father has given us, that we should be called children of God, and so are we. The reason why the world does not know us is that it did not know him. Ephesians 2:8, for by grace you have been saved through faith, and this is not your own doing. It is the gift of God. First John 4:8, anyone who does not love does not know God, because God is love to everyone. 1 Corinthians 13:13. So now faith, hope, and love abide, these three, but the greatest of these is love. Romans 5:3-5. More than that, we rejoice in our sufferings, knowing that suffering produces endurance. I love this. Endurance produces character. Character produces hope, and hope does not put us to shame because God's love has been poured into our hearts through the Holy Spirit who has been given to us. Lamentations 3:22-23. The steadfast love of the Lord never ceases. His mercies never come to an end. They are new every morning. Great is thy faithfulness. Isaiah 53:5. But he was wounded for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities. Upon him was a chastisement that brought us peace, and with his stripes we are healed. John 15:9. As the Father has loved me, so have I loved you. Abide in my love. Romans 10:13. For everyone who calls the name of the Lord will be saved. Revelation 21:4. He will wipe away every tear from their eyes, and death shall be no more. There shall be mourning. Neither shall there be mourning, nor crying, nor pain anymore, for the former things have passed away. Romans 8:28. We know that for those who love God, all things work together for good for those who are called according to his purpose. 1 John 4:7. Beloved, let us love one another, for love is from God. Whoever loves has been born of God and knows God. Psalm 63:3. Because your steadfast love is better than life, my lips will praise you. Jeremiah 29:11. For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord, plans for welfare and not for evil, to give you a future and a hope. John 14:6. Jesus said to him, I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. Psalm 62:8. Trust in him at all times, O people, pour out your heart before him. God is a refuge for us. John 13:34-35, a new commandment I give to you, that you love one another just as I love you. You are also to love one another. By this all people will know that you are my disciples, if you have love for one another. And so I want to stop here, and I want to talk about this love and the personification of this love through the life of Jesus Christ. You know, if you take it first to your own personal life, and I'm going to use my life as an example. I have been in a number of very traumatic and painful relationships with the opposite sex, romantic relationships that have failed repeatedly and have been very devastating. And there was a lot of pain in that, feelings of having been deceived and mistreated, instances of that. But when we talk about what love really is, it's getting to a point for me, and this didn't happen overnight, but it came by way of me submitting to God and surrendering all of that pain, all of that heartache and disappointment and devastation to the Lord and saying, now, Lord, I submit this to you. You tell me what you want me to do. You tell me how you want me to proceed to represent you. And the Lord said very clearly, release it. If you released it to me, those negative feelings, the Lord said, now I want you to cultivate and develop that agape love, that spirit of agape love that leads you to pray for those individuals. Once I released it to God and repented of my part in it, because in those failed relationships I had a part in not being obedient to God by even getting involved in those situations and saying, Lord, forgive me. And God said, now you have to forgive them. And on top of forgiving them, you need to pray for them. And you need to be representing me going forward in everything you do and all of your actions. And if at any time you don't, in action or in thought, you need to recognize, when I put that conviction in your spirit, recognize and repent and continue to move forward. So God was making it very clear. And I think if, first of all, we examine our own lives and our individual relationships and how that may be so, whether that is with estranged children or an estranged spouse or coworkers or extended family members or former friendships or church members or whomever it may be in our lives that we have had difficult and disappointing relationships and interactions, God says, look, He is the picture of perfection. And in looking toward Him, we will find the peace to be able to go on and move past that, to live in victory and walk in faith and walk in prosperity and deliverance from those situations and maybe the feelings that resulted from those situations that have us, you know, kept us bound over the years and such. So I say all that to say, when we take that to the next level, looking beyond our individual situations to other people in our lives, even nationally or globally, we need to come to a place to where we are pointing people back to the Lord. Because, and in that space, I know it is difficult to pray for people who are, you know, seemingly just evil in their intentions and in their actions and in their hearts because of how they just blatantly misuse and mistreat others remorselessly. And in those particular situations, it is where we have to preach the message of love. We speak out against the injustices, and we do call for justice to take place because the Bible does say that there must be consequences for our actions. We reap what we sow. The Lord will give ultimate justice in the end times, though He will have the final say-so. But we do have, you know, laws to protect people and their rights on this earth for a reason. And that needs to go forth in terms of the follow-through with those particular laws and regulations. So that is, you know, that's what it is. And even Jesus speaks to that in His ministry here on earth, you know, as far as what, you know, what is currently in place, as far as how the society operates. But He knew He transcended that with His message of love. And that's what we've got to do. We've got to get on that transcendental level. Although we may be doing things strategically here that we should continue to do, as was mentioned in today's sermon online at First Baptist Atlanta by Dr. George. But what we do is we even transcend that, right? And we go even higher and further with the Lord to say, but ultimately, submission to the will of God through the name of Jesus is the only thing that is going to get us where we need to be and where we should be with the Lord, so that these things don't divide us, don't separate us, because that is Satan's aim. Without division, his agenda cannot go forward. So he has to keep the divisions and the seditions and the strife, the mayhem. He's got to keep it, circulating in order for his agenda to be achieved. It's our job as Christians to do what we can to weaken that evil, that oppositional and adversarial agenda, and declare that the Lord's objective and the Lord's purpose be what we promote and purport and what is first and foremost for us. So we're going to look at a poll in just a second. And what are some scripture verses about the light of Christ? And because a lot of people, there are even many Christians who don't understand this concept of the light of Christ, light in the darkness. And John speaks about it so much. I mean, he continually speaks about it. In the book of the Gospel of John, and then John, being written in 1st, 2nd, and 3rd John even. What is this light? Okay, so we know that there's a darkness in the world because Satan's the prince of this world. And so he has been able to get this world, this present society and environment and atmosphere to dance with the darkness, to dance with evil, so that it's not even recognized as darkness anymore often. Don't even see that we're in the dark, right? Until the light comes on, until the light is brought. And we are the light, right? Through Jesus. Jesus is the light, and his light shines through us, right? So unless we bring the light, people don't see the light. John 8:12, again, Jesus spoke to them saying, I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will not walk in darkness, but will have the light of life. John 12:46, I have come into the world as light, so whoever believes in me may not remain in darkness. Matthew 5:16, the same way, let your light shine for others, so they may see your good works and give glory to your Father who is in heaven. 2 Corinthians 4:6, for God who said, let light shine out of darkness, has shown in our hearts to give the light and knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. Again, has shown in our hearts, God has shown in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. So the light is of the knowledge of God's glory, right? If we think back to Moses, saw God's glory before him, couldn't take it. He just saw a glimpse of it, just like the side of it. So in this earthly realm, we wouldn't even be able to stand God's glory. When Jesus comes back to claim those who are going into eternity, that will be the time of our ascension that we see the fullness of God's glory, because we won't be in this realm anymore. But that's the light, right? The knowledge of the glory of God. That's what we're called to bring people into. We're called to do that. Why? The reason why we are called to do that is because it is God's purpose and his will and his design that we should glorify him. He created us to glorify him and to serve him. That's why we're created. That's why we're here. We're not here to get married. We're not here to have babies. We're not here to make a whole lot of money. Those things can happen. Those things are a part of life, and there's some joy in that, or there's some fruit that can come from that, right? But that is not why we're here, because everybody's not going to get married. Everybody's not going to have babies. Everybody's not going to have a lot of money. Everybody's not going to, why are we all here? It is to glorify and serve the Lord, and in that glorification of the Lord and service to the Lord, those of us who belong to him and claim him, those of us who have given our lives and dedicated our lives to him because we said we believe that he is our Lord and Savior and died across for us, and we want to serve him for the rest of our lives. In that process, if God sees fit, that he can get greater glory in your life from you being married or from you being a parent or from you being in whatever, you know, condition or you know, granting you with whatever gift. If he can see in his infinite wisdom and know that he could get greater glory that way, then he will make that provision. He will grant you that. And if not, he won't. And that's where we know it's not about us, but it's about him. But I like that. Give the lie of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. That's where we see it. That's where it's modeled for us and shaped for us and shown to us and displayed to us and portrayed to us, right? Of course, you know, John 3:16, for God so loved the world, he gave his only son, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have eternal life. John 3:19-21, and this is the judgment. The light has come into the world, and people love the darkness rather than the light because their works were evil. Because people want to do the drinking and the reveling and the fornication and other sexually indiscriminate acts, okay, whatever those things may be, sexually immoral acts. It could be homosexuality, it could be heterosexual fornication, it could be pornography, it could be whatever. Other things not related to sexual immorality, also greed and lust and, you know, other things. All of that. Evil works. For everyone who does wicked things hates the light, does not come to the light, lest his work should be exposed. But whoever does what is true comes to light, so that it may clearly seem that his works have been carried out in God. 1 John 1:5, this is the message we have heard from him and proclaimed to you, that God is light, and in him is no darkness at all. John 12:36, while you have the light, believe in the light, that you may become sons of light. When Jesus had said these things, he departed and hid himself from them. Matthew 5:14, you are the light of the world. A city set on a hill cannot be hidden. Nor do people light a lamp and put it under a basket, but on a stand, and give light to all in the house. In the same way, let your light shine before others, so they may see your good works and give glory to your Father in heaven. God gives the glory, right? So for years, I was focused on my light couldn't fully shine because I was lamenting and about not being married, and I was woeful, and, you know, so my light couldn't fully shine, and my self-esteem issues, my anxiety, my depression, my this, my that, all self-focused. My light couldn't fully shine. And so it actually is, it hurts other people, and it hurts our discipleship, and in the long run, hurts the ministry of the Lord when we say, we love God, we're committed to God, and we serve him, but we go out and put other things first, or we think about our own personal pleasures. And I had to repent of that. I had to repent of putting my personal desires or feelings ahead of or in place of the mission and surrender to the Lord. Because the Lord said in him is fullness of joy. Fullness of joy. But you got to submit. You got to surrender. That's the key. So you can't say, well, Lord, I just don't know why I don't feel joyful. You know, I mean, I go to church and I talk to people, try to encourage me, but I don't feel this joy. I just feel sad and lonely and upset and depressed, and because you've not submitted. Submission and surrender must come first. Our will submitted and surrendered to his will for us. And then his will become our will, whatever that looks like, whatever that entails, whatever that includes. And you will not only accept, but accept gladly. This is a talk about his personal will for our lives, right? So let's look at this poll really quickly. Many Americans, a couple of polls here, feel lonely and anxious during the pandemic. And this was April 30th, so about a month ago. Americans are feeling isolated and anxious. They fear their loved ones will get sick. They worry about their jobs. The pandemic across the United States taking a widespread toll on people's mental health and stress levels. According to a survey that finds the majority of Americans felt nervous, depressed, lonely, or hopeless in the past week. Um, Roughly two-thirds of Americans say they felt nervous, depressed, lonely, or hopeless at least one of their past 7 days. For each of the emotions, close to 2 in 10 Americans said they felt that way on 3 or more days. 14% said they felt reactions such as sweating, becoming nauseous, or hyperventilating when thinking about their experience with the pandemic. Some upsides to this particular survey, one-fifth report more frequent texting, phone calls, or online contact with friends and family. So reaching out to check on others. And also I have to say, just people stopping, those of us who are were already Christians and maybe just we're getting really caught up with our own lives and the busyness and all of this, stopping and really giving God his due time and listening to what the Lord wanted us to do and what the Lord wanted to get from our lives during this time. So it is, you know, and should be and has been an opportunity for us to really turn to the Lord, seek his face, and seek his will for us going forward. What is the message that he has that he wants us to get from it individually, collectively as a body of Christ, and then the world in general, even those who are not acknowledging and admitting to his authority and his sovereignty and his deity. You know, I have, over the course of time and over the years that I lived as someone who has been highly emotional, who has lived pretty much all of my 20s and 30s, reacting emotionally to things, to people, to situations, that has been the biggest, the greatest challenge of my life, and what I recall as being my biggest struggle. Here's where God wants us, I believe, as the Holy Spirit told me, as it relates to emotions. Here's where God wants you, because he gave us the emotions. They're part of our makeup. They're part of our system and how he designed us. So the emotions aren't bad. And the emotions are actually controlled by the Holy Spirit working and living within us. The emotions are controlled by that, the Holy Spirit, by him, that power. So if, in fact, we don't allow the Holy Spirit as Christians dwelling within us to help us control our emotions, that means we don't respond to how we feel in the moment. We're not reactionary or reactive in ways. But, in fact, we use the wisdom of the Holy Spirit and the guidance of the Holy Spirit and direction of the Holy Spirit to help us manage the emotions. Anger is not a sin. What we do with the anger is a sin. Okay? And the Bible clearly speaks to not awakening love before it is time, which means, you know, a lot of people getting into dating and, you know, at young ages or sexual relationships outside of marriage, those kinds of things. The devil is just going to toy with your mind and your heart. It's going to be a mess. It's going to be a mess. Those types of feelings, the expressions of those feelings, all of that was designed to be within marriage, with the one you're with for life. And you have to be very careful about outside of, because when those relationships, every time that relationship doesn't work, then that's a scar that's formed. And even a scar, when it's healed, it still leaves a mark. You know, and the more you have of that, you know, it robs you of what God really wants the experience to be like for you, if he has that for you. Because then you're distrustful and you have, you know, a lot of reservations, and you may have a wall built up and you may have other things going on. So it's just important that we, you know, are prayerful about who, with whom we have contact, and this online dating or whatever has just taken, you know, obviously an even greater surge in these times. And I'm finding that most of the stories I read, people have been just terribly disappointed with, you know, looking for something or someone out there who's going to make all this okay for them, and it doesn't exist. But God wants us during this time, he really wants us to come off, out of looking to something else or someone else to help us deal with this. He wants us to look to him. He wants us to trust him and talk to him and know him on a deeper, more intimate level. And that's the only way we're going to grow through this time and in this season. Another poll, and this was just 3 days ago, it just talks about majority of 9 out of 16 countries comfortable with returning to the workplace, but only 2 countries comfortable with children back at school. People in Japan and hard-hit countries of Spain, France, are unhappy with their government response. Consumer confidence and poll on economic outlook show doubts about recovery ahead. Masks are definitely increasing. 4 in 5 women across 15 countries say they're in quarantine or self-isolation. People in Japan, the UK, and Australia are most negative about a recovery by June. This is going back to April now. Coronavirus crisis seen as threatening to both health and finances. Of course, we know unemployment is the highest it's been since the Great Depression. So it's just been... it's been a lot out there negatively as it relates to COVID-19. And then, of course, we're dealing with other societal, you know, very serious concerns about justice and equality and decency and humanity. So I just want to say in these last few minutes, we're going to end by reading about the plans that God has for us, for all of us. We're going to end on an optimistic, uplifting note. But I just want to say that the love and the light of Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior, when you really get to know that love and that light and walk in it and embrace it, you don't feel, that you have to search anymore for anything. You don't feel that anything is missing from your life. You may have moments or occasions of anxiety, or you know, that is understandable in this world. We may have moments or instances or particular situations that occur, but you don't live in that space, you know, continually. You do have that peace that surpasses all understanding that is, you know, talked about in the Word of God. You are completely living and existing in serenity and tranquility with the Lord in spite of everything. And even now, there's a particular situation that I'm facing and I'm dealing with, and I don't know. Really, it's still kind of a mystery to me as far as figuring out what's going on.
but I'm getting, you know, some wisdom and some insight from the Holy Spirit that I do need to approach this situation very delicately and with prayer and through prayer, because Satan he's just looking for an opportunity for me to return to my former state of anxiety and the riot behaviors and just catastrophizing everything. He's looking for every opportunity to do that. So things are going to happen. Things are going to happen. But what I have found is that when I stop and pray and say, Lord, please help me. I know I have no control over these behaviors. I know unless I submit to you, it's going to be madness. It's going to be completely wild and crazy unless I submit to you. Because I know who I am in my flesh. I've seen who I am in my flesh, and I hate who I am in my flesh because it does not glorify him. And so in dying to that, which is a daily death, then the Lord can say, okay, my daughter, you know, he can hear me and he can honor that sincere, authentic prayer that the Holy Spirit will just take over. And I will look and operate. I will look totally different to people. I will look different. And I want to look different. I want to look like him. When people see me, I want them to see Jesus all over me. And when people see you, I want them to see Jesus all over you. Let's end with the plans God has for us. Again, Jeremiah 29:11, for I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord. Plans for welfare and not for evil, to give you a future and a hope. Proverbs 3:5-6, trust the Lord with all your heart. Do not lean on your understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge him. He will make straight your path. Proverbs 16:9, the heart of man plans his way, but the Lord establishes his steps. Ecclesiastes 3:1, for everything there's a season and time for every purpose under heaven. Isaiah 58:11, the Lord will guide you continually and satisfy your desire in scorched places and make your bones strong. You shall be like a watered garden, like a spring of water, whose waters do not fail. Jeremiah 1:5, before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. And before you were born, I consecrated you. I appointed you a prophet to the nations. Proverbs 19:21, many are the plans in the mind of a man, but it is the purpose of the Lord that will stand. Psalm 27:14, wait for the Lord, be strong, and let your heart take courage, wait for the Lord. Romans 12:2, do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewal of your mind, that by testing you may discern what is the will of God, what is good, acceptable, and perfect. Isaiah 40:31, but they who wait for the Lord shall renew their strength, they shall mount wings like eagles, they shall run, not be weary, they shall walk and not faint. 1 Corinthians 2:9, but as it is written, what no eye has seen, nor ear heard, nor the heart of man imagined, what God has prepared for those who love him. John 3 said, if you abide in me and my words abide in you, ask whatever you wish will be done for you. Proverbs 23:18, surely there is a future and your hope will not be cut off. Ephesians 2:10, for we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. Proverbs 16:3-4, commit your work to the Lord and your plans be established. The Lord has made everything for its purpose, even the wicked for the day of trouble. Ephesians 3:20, now to him who is far more abundantly than all that we ask or think, according to the power at work within us. Isaiah 43:18-19, remember not the former things, nor consider things of old. Behold, I am doing a new thing. Now it springs forth. Do you not perceive it? I will make a way in the wilderness and rivers in the desert. 1 Thessalonians 5:16-18, rejoice always, pray without ceasing, give thanks in all circumstances, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. Psalm 37:4, delight yourself in the Lord, and he will give you the desires of your heart. He will give you the desires. He will give you the desires. He will implant in you the desires. And the desire will be for more of him. My beloved brothers and sisters, if your desire right now is to meet somebody on a website that you think is going to make you happy or bring you joy or fill up your life. If your desire right now is to just, you know, you can't stop thinking about the pandemic being over and done and then finding a vaccine and stuff. If those are your desires, I implore you, please kneel before the Lord and say, Lord, give me a desire for more of you. Make that what I focus on. And help me to accept your will in all things. If I have a prayer petition before you, help me to submit that prayer petition to your will. Psalm 119:105, your words are lamps to my feet and a light to my path. Deuteronomy 31:6, be strong and courageous, do not fear or be in dread of them, for the Lord your God who goes with you, he will not leave you or forsake you. Philippians 1:6, and I am sure of this, that he who began a good work in you will bring it to completion at the day of Jesus Christ. My brothers and sisters, I love you. Thank you for being on the show today. And I pray that you have a blessed week in spite of everything that's going on, whether it's personally in your life or in your city or your state or the country or globally. Know that the Lord is always there. He cares. He'll never leave us or forsake us. And what he wants from us is a dedication and a devotion to spreading the gospel, to speaking of his love and the light that he brings. That's what he wants from us. I love you. Have a blessed week.